our whole preoccupation, our whole mindset, is we are here to build the kingdom of God. Like Adam, when he was put in the garden to tend the garden, we're here to tend the garden of the kingdom of God here on earth, because the kingdom of God consists of the hearts of men and women who have faith in Him. And we want to water one another's faith, water one another's seeds of faith. We want to care for one another. Sometimes someone may need help in reaching a branch that they can't quite reach, that needs to be pruned. That extra branch that's on there is kind of sucking the life out. So the branches that we want, where the fruit is, can have more of the life power to produce more fruit, to produce more succulent fruit, more beautiful fruit, more nutritious fruit. And so each person has their place. Some are good at pruning the trees or pruning the plants. Some are good at cultivating the soil, making it good and rich and fertilizing it. And some are good at watering. Some are good at keeping the pests away. We all have a place in the garden of God. We all have a place in cultivating the garden, in keeping the garden. And that garden is each one of our hearts put together. For we all, each, have a garden within us. That garden is the kingdom of God within us. We may have other things in our hearts that we need to push out because they're kind of a nuisance in the kingdom. On this side of eternity, our hearts have fleshly ways in them. We are used to having to do things on our own, and so we worry about things. We tend to get mixed up in the cares and worries of this world. We don't remember what Jesus taught us, that the sparrows don't worry about tomorrow, and God feeds them. And the grasses of the field don't worry about what they're going to wear, and God clothes them with beautiful flowers. Even Solomon did not dress himself as beautiful as God dressed the flowers of the field. We can trust Him. If we will set our hearts to doing His work with Him and by His power, by His love, not depending on our love, but resting from our works, we can rest assured that God will take care of God will take care of our physical needs here on earth. He's been showing that to me more and more as he's been teaching me how to prune myself from the worries and cares of this world and trusting him more and more. I still work and I still do this and that, take care of my house, the yard, my cars. They still require work. But doing it with an awareness that God leads me through each step. Instead of just planning my whole day on my own and thinking I need to do this and this and this, it's all tedious that way. But if I look at all the things I need to do as an opportunity to walk hand in hand with God through those things, then I take the burden off of my shoulders and let him lead me through my day. I can walk in his rest. In the joy of the Lord, then, becomes my strength. If I take my day as my own and just do it in my own strength, oh, that's a burden I'm tired of bearing. Worrying about my children instead of trusting God. What am I going to do with my kids? They're not walking with the Lord. What am I going to do? I'm all stressed and worried about it. And I pray and ask God, oh God, you know. But there's a better way. I still pray and ask God to work, but it's with a different heart. I trust that he is working in their lives. And these troubles that are coming upon them are him working in their lives. Because they have to go through those things in order to learn to walk with God and trust him. It takes the burden off my shoulders. And then when I pray for them, it's not anxiously praying, but it's more confidently praying, because I then see God working in their lives with bringing difficult circumstances on them. And I thank God for that. I say, thank you, God. Thank you. I can see your hand there. See, that's learning the ways of God. Oh, I was started to pray for Martha, and I started teaching again. I'm just amazed at how God works. I love to understand how things work. The mechanics of things just so intrigue me that I sometimes, whenever I'm talking to somebody or praying, I start noticing how things work, and then I start talking about those. Almost, I like to share with others the wonder of God and what he does and his creation. And it's hard for me to separate that from anything I do. So, Lord, I ask you to bless Martha in all that she does today with confidence in you for each thing, that she doesn't have to worry. And as I have the opportunity to pray for Martha in this way, I want everyone who can hear my voice, to take that prayer for themselves. Take this prayer for yourself. Look to God in faith that he is working in your life. He's wanting you to draw near to him with all of your heart. And he will care for you, and he will show you. He will share with you how he's working in your heart if you want to know. Instead of us saying, this is kind of what I hear and the tendency of my own heart many times has been, why are you doing this? Why does this have to happen? This can't be God. God doesn't act like this. This is the devil, blah, 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 blah. And we get so wound up, so caught up in the things we don't like that's happening to us, that we can't see God at work. But when I lay down my understanding, and don't try to make God fit within my belief system, my understanding of things, and I actually turn that around and say, and instead of saying, this isn't you because you don't, this doesn't fit in my understanding of you, God, when I'm talking to him, instead I'll say, God, I don't understand what's happening, but you're God, you're sovereign. Will you show me? Show me how you are working here? Even when the devil is battering me, if God is always good, then why would God allow the devil to batter me? Even when he allows things, if he's allowing it and he's always good, he must be allowing it for good reason. It must be for my good. Just like when our children are going through difficulties and we see that God is disciplining them to bring them back. But then when we're following God with our whole heart and things that are tough happen to us, then that doesn't seem fair. It's kind of like Job. But we have to step back from looking at things from our little tiny earthly perspective and say, God, show me your power. Show me your glory. Show me your wisdom, because it's too difficult for me. I don't understand a pittance of things. Without you, I'm totally inept. I'm totally ignorant. I don't know. I don't know one thing from another. You are the only wise God. Will you show me your ways? Reveal to me your perspective. So from there, I'm going to turn to Matthew chapter 6. Now, oftentimes when I've been in church, sometimes I've been made to feel like I'm supposed to pick up my Bible, I'm supposed to turn there, I'm supposed to take notes, I'm supposed to write everything down. But everyone, I don't want you to feel like you have to do it this way or do it that way. If you just want to listen, you just listen. If you like to listen with a pen and paper in your hand, do that. If you like to write everything down, do that. If you want to just have a pen and paper in your hand, just in case you hear something that really strikes you, then do it that way. That's the way I like to do it. If I'm trying to write everything down, I have a tendency to miss the depths of what's being said. It's too hard for me to do both. So I'll have a pen and paper in my hand. And then, you see, with each message I hear, there will be one thing that God speaks to me. Regardless of what the man speaking says, God might give me a little understanding just in maybe what the guy did wrong and showing me how I do that same thing and that that's what I should avoid doing. Or sometimes it'll be the message itself. There's something in there that I really need to take note on and remember. So I can write that down. I don't have to write the whole message down. I don't have to follow in my Bible with each verse. Sometimes I do that, but I don't have to. Do what works best for you. Bless you. So here we are. Let's see. Let me check the time here. So I know 2:06. Okay. Here we are. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where the moths and the rust and the thieves can't get in, can't touch it. For, now I'm going to be paraphrase here. In this translation I'm reading from, that is paraphrased the last verse, but it says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. But I'd like to put it this way. For whatever you consider to be your treasure, that's where your heart will be. For whatever you consider to be your treasure, that's where your heart will be. See, that's the idea, I believe, is being presented here. So when he says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, that doesn't mean you can't have things here on this earth. We need to have things here on this earth. But don't treasure them. Don't regard them as being treasure. You see, whatever you regard as your treasure, that's what you hold close to you. You hold it close to your heart. And you begin to love that thing. Now, there's a difference between being able to enjoy something. Like, I enjoy good food. I enjoy looking nice. I enjoy my house looking nice. But I don't regard that as my treasure. You see, if I lose those things, I'm okay. Because those things are not what my heart consists of. Because whatever you treasure in your heart, that's what's filling your heart. That will be what makes you get up in the morning. Oh, I can't wait to get up this morning because I want to polish my car. I want to mow my lawn and then I'm going to work on my house, and then I'm going to make this so everybody who walks by can see how beautiful my home is. And then I will feel good about myself because they all look at me as being important. Because I have a nice shiny car and a nice new house and a nice new haircut and a beautiful wife. And let's see, what else can I do so other people will think well of me? You see, God looks at the motives of our heart. Why do you want to have all those things? Because you want to be regarded by other people as being someone important. That's a way of our hearts trying to be loved by people, by having their high regard. So it shows where our hearts are. Our hearts are on the world, are on the things of the world, and they're on the things of the world and the people of the world. That's what Jesus was teaching against. See, now this is the gospel in a nutshell. This is the framework for the gospel. The gospel says that, or this framework I'm teaching here is that if you treasure these things and how people think of you, if you treasure the things, the moth and rust and the thieves are going to break in and steal it away from you. So don't let your heart consist of these things. But he says, but rather store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust nor thieves can take it away from you. For where your whatever you treasure, that's where your heart will be. So don't, then he goes on to the verse 22. It says, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. That clear. Think of your eye. At this point, let's think of our eye as like a plumbing in our house. If you put a bunch of stuff down the drain, you'll clog the drain and the water won't be able to get through because it's so full of the junk from this world. If we have our eye set on the things of this world, our eyes are going to be clogged with the junk from this world. Even if it's beautiful junk, it's still junk when compared to true riches of the kingdom of God. So if our eyes are set on the things of this world, we're not going to be, our eyes are full of the darkness of this world. It clouds us from seeing into the kingdom of heaven from God's perspective. We're not going to be seeing what God's perspective is. We're going to be seeing things from our own little tiny earthly perspective and not from the perspective of the only wise God. If our eyes are set on the world, on the people of the world, or the things in the world, then we've acting foolishly. We're thinking foolishly. Because all this stuff can be taken away from us, and then what's going to happen? All we're worried about is there are few and fleeting years here on earth. We're not being wise and thinking about eternity. Eternity which never ends. Are we rich in the kingdom of God? Have we invested our lives? This means more than just at one point in our life asking Jesus to forgive us of our sins and to give us eternal life. That's just the beginning of it. But we need to press on from there and invest our lives day to day for the kingdom of God. And when we do this, He will take care of our body. We don't have to worry about it. He will lead us in our moment by moment day. And He will certainly tell us when we need to wash the car. His heart will be the motivating factor in what we do each moment. We always do what we want to do. Sometimes we confuse ourselves with our own brains. We think that by figuring everything out, that we'll, in the end, we'll be better off then. Now, that's a truth, but it can be a short-sighted truth. If that's all we do, then it's nothing different than in the theme of the Book of Judges, where each man did that which was right in his own eyes. Even if we think we're doing it according to the Word of God, we're still depending on our minds, on our understanding of the Word of God. We must subject ourselves continually, moment by moment, to the Spirit of God to give us understanding. Then we will be wise. Because God's wisdom goes way above and beyond what we could ever figure out, even using the Word of God. We'll always be tricking ourselves into thinking we're doing God's will when all we use is the Bible. The Bible's good, and every word is good. But it requires the Holy Spirit to give it life. Otherwise, we're just living by the tedious law, and we've fooled ourselves. Verse 22, the eye is the lamp of the body. So then, if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, because it's not clear, because our eye is set on the things of the world, or our own abilities, or our own resourcefulness, or our own smartness, or set on having the attention of the people around us, the respect of them, that's having a bad eye, and your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, see, we'll think that, even while doing those things, we'll think that we have light. But it's full of shadows, and we're full of darkness. And he says, if then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? Because we fooled ourselves into thinking that we are walking in God's way. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and the wealth of this world. You have to make God your true treasure, your true wealth, and believe that He is your wealth, and everything else here are just tools for us to use to walk in the kingdom of God. For this reason, verse 25, do not be worried about your life, as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food? And the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? Why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat? Or what will we drink? Or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles, here he's speaking them as unbelievers, or those outside of the kingdom, they eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But continually seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things, will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for being a God who cares about us. I know you're working in each of our lives to bring us to depend on you, to ask you for true riches. Many of us have learned to ask for you for the things that we get here on earth. And there's nothing wrong with that. But the first place, our first course of business, is to be continually seeking first the kingdom of God. And in building up, storing up treasures in heaven for us. When we have hearts rich, full of the love and wisdom and mercy and generousness and the patient heart of God, those show on our face here. And men, as we testify that it was God, and it's by following God, it's by seeking him with all my heart that these things, that's why I'm able to act this way in the midst of difficult situations. Even when I don't know where my meal's coming tomorrow, or I don't know if I'm going to have a place to live tomorrow. Yet, as I have practiced putting my faith in God through each moment in my life, so that faith is like an anchor into the kingdom of God's heart. And my faith is anchored in that, in God himself, in his love for me. So when things don't look so promising here on earth, when they're not going the, when they don't look safe, I'm not worried. Because God is still God. He's God when things go well, and He's God when things don't. And I trust Him, and that trust that I've built up with Him will get me through the hard times. And there will be a glory that I will wear on my head, and there will be white clothes of glory that I will wear, and people will see and be amazed. So I thank you for all the opportunities you give to us. And I don't want these to be just empty words, just nice thoughts that we store away as truths, but don't live them. For, this is 1 Corinthians 4:20, for, it says here, for the kingdom of God does not consist in words, but in power. The power of living them. The power of the Holy Spirit, of God Himself. Like when the children of Israel were walking through the wilderness and the column of smoke by day and the column of fire by night led them. What would you have to worry about anything if a God like that was leading? Still they grumbled and complained. Can you imagine that? A column of smoke and column of fire by day just leading you through the wilderness, and still complaining that we don't trust God. We would have done the same things. But here in my life now, even though I don't have that column of smoke or the column of fire, I'm putting my faith in God through all the trials, through all the difficulties, through all the good times and bad. My heart is on an even keel through the good times and the tough times, because they're not, my heart is not anchored. My eyes are not set on the things of this world or the people of this world. My eyes are set and anchored into the very throne room of God. So it doesn't make any difference what happens here. Even if heaven and earth pass away, my soul is knit to the heart of God. And in Him, I do not have to worry. If you have never known God in this way, all you have to do is look to Him and ask Him to reveal Himself to your heart. You don't even have to have the right prayer. You don't even have to know the right knowledge. Those are all good and can be helpful. But the heart that looks to God will not be disappointed. And the heart who's set firmly on God in this way, when that heart hears truth, it will ring true in your mind and in your heart because it sympathetically vibrates with the heart of God, and you will know that it's true. So then when you hear about Jesus dying for your sins and taking your sins and throwing them as far as the east is from the west, you will just say, yes, that is good. Thank you, Lord, for throwing my sins away when I come to you. I come to you as a servant, and you receive me as a son. But even a son serves his father. And we are all children of you, Lord, throughout our time here on earth until we graduate. And we leave this earth, we're still like adolescents. We're still under the authority of our Father. What it will be like after that, I'm not talking about that now. I'm just talking about what it's like here now. We come to you, and we are servants, and yet we're sons. And we want to serve you. And we serve you by loving one another and serving others over ourselves. If we want to be treated with dignity, then we treat others with dignity. If we want people to overlook our shortcomings, then we overlook other people's shortcomings. If we like it when people treat us mercifully and graciously and lovingly and kindly, even when we goof and say something off the cuff and hurtful, if we want them to forgive us for that and say, you know, I know you didn't really mean that, then we should treat others that way. That's the kingdom of God. And that's walking in grace and truth and mercy when we are full of grace and truth and mercy for others. If God is merciful to us, and we turn around and are unmerciful to our brother or sister, you know, God says something about that he will not forgive us our sins. And we have not proven ourselves to be a child of God. There's proof in the pudding. Go and learn what that means.